Morning, I'm Daisy McAndrew, sitting in today for Julia Hartley-Brewer, who's up in Manchester partying hard at the Conservative Party conference, so working hard as well, I'm sure. Lots of interesting reports coming out of Manchester, some good, some bad for the Conservative Party. We'll certainly be keeping an eye on that. But also, of course, this morning, we're looking further afield, particularly to Barcelona, where we've had the weekend of violence and really terrible pictures of seeming police brutality as the national police sent by Madrid tried to stop a referendum happening organised by the local Catalan government. We know that there was only about 42% turnout in that referendum. Of course, as some of you have been tweeting, it's no surprise that turnout was low when you look at those pictures of the police brutality. I'm going to be talking in a few minutes to Lord Chris Renard, he's a Liberal Democrat parliamentarian, member of the House of Lords, but he was in Barcelona as an official observer, election observer. We know the role of election observers is to make sure that nothing untoward has happened. There's no corruption, there's no fraud, there's no brutality. Clearly, this would have been a very, very difficult election referendum to observe. I'll be talking to him in just a few minutes to see what he did see, with his own eyes. But I'm also speaking now to Matthew Bennett. Matthew's from the Spain Reporter. Matthew, tell me, first of all, you've obviously been covering Spanish political issues for a long time. The calls for the referendum, the Catalan independence, I mean, this hasn't just been for a few years. This has been for decades. I mean, for hundreds of years in many ways. But why is it coming to a head now?
Good morning, Daisy.
Morning.
What a question to start with. It's coming. This current drive, let's just stick to the last few years, perhaps.
Yes.
Current drive has been going on for about 5 years, when we've seen these massive demonstrations every year, massive marches every year, and organized by the separatists in favor of independence or secession, depending on how you look at it, of Catalonia from Spain. And on the other hand, you've had that this has been legitimized by the Catalan regional governments over those 5 years. Okay, so they've received that institutional support for the last 5 years, which they didn't previously have. On the other side, you've got the Conservative government. Over that whole period, you've had the Conservative government in Madrid, led by Mr. Rajoy, and his position from the beginning, from the very beginning of all of this, over that five-year period, has been that a referendum on the independence of Catalonia or any other region in Spain is illegal and unconstitutional, and that even he, as prime minister, because of that constitutional aspect, could not call a referendum in Catalonia on independence.
Which is a very difficult pill for somebody to swallow. You know, it's one thing if you want independence and you are allowed to have a referendum and then you just have to abide by the results of the referendum. If you lose, you lose. If you win, you win. But being told that you categorically are not allowed to even have the vote is a difficult thing to be told. And of course, looks very, very undemocratic.
Okay, there are 2 points there. Well, firstly, I would say if we compare it, it's not an exact comparison, but if we go to Scotland, say, and look at what's happened over the last few years with the Scottish referendum or referendums, the first one was agreed to by David Cameron, and that's why it happened within the British rule of law, within the British constitutional system. So Scotland asked London to agree to a referendum, and Mr. Cameron decided to agree to that referendum. So the vote was held, and it was legal, and it was held within the British constitutional system. This time, I think it was June, wasn't it? June or July, Nicola Sturgeon asked for a second vote, and this time Theresa May said no. So therefore, it won't be held because it's not been agreed upon. And then if we're talking about democracy generally, it depends on the concept of democracy that we hold, whether it's just votes or whether it also includes the rule of law, which is a slightly more complex interpretation, but no less valid, and certainly the rule of law in Britain and the United States, I think perhaps is something that British and American people, even Germans, we just take for granted. We don't think that the politician is going to try to do something outside of the law to that extent.
Well, this is one of the questions I posed earlier, and I can see that it's very dangerous territory to start saying, well, the Spanish just aren't as modern as other democracies. Their understanding of democracy is not the same. Their understanding of rule of law is not the same. But if you're going to be literal about it, Spain has only been a democracy since 1978, since it got rid of Franco. And there are many people who say they don't have the same deep held beliefs and systems and, you know, generations and generations of rule of law and democracy as other nations do. And that is one of the reasons why we're seeing things the way we are.
I understand that interpretation, that perception of events from abroad, because people, when we study Spanish history and look at Spain from the outside over the years, over the decades, then this business of Franco and the dictatorship and the civil war is very much a part of that history that we study. And Spain did have that reputation for all of those very many years, 40 years ago. But for Spain has been a modern democracy for the last 40 years, and it uses the rule of law. It works in a different manner to the British, as both Britain and Spain are constitutional parliamentary monarchies, for example, but the specific details of how the systems work are different, but they're both modern democracies. There's another issue which is important here as well, which is the way Catalan separatists over the years have used that international perception of Spain and the ideas held about democracy abroad, generally speaking, to further their cause.
They haven't always shown themselves to be covered in glory.
The Catalans, you mean? Well, no, they're just very good at baiting foreign media, promoting their own message in foreign media, shall we say. And lots, not every foreign media outlet buys it, but lots of them do, because of the way the media works.
And what do you think international reaction should be? You said there, very interesting point, that the Catalans are pretty good at manipulating their own story, to use another word. And as you said, newspapers and commentators are saying other European leaders should be doing more. They should be chastising the Spanish government. They should be condemning what they see. We've seen Jeremy Corbyn doing that and calling on Theresa May to do that. But others are saying it's not as simple as that. The Catalan referendum is not legal. Therefore, it cannot be supported by Spanish, let alone foreign governments.
Right. So we should also make a difference between Catalans and Catalan separatists. So one of the tricks that Catalan separatists use, especially when they're talking abroad, is to talk about themselves as all Catalans. They don't specify that they're just the Catalans who favour separatism or independence. So all of the lots of foreign media run away and title Catalans do this or Catalans do that, when actually it's just the Catalan separatists who want to do this. So what does Mariano Rajoy, what is the Spanish Prime Minister supposed to do within the rule of law, with the political tools he has available, to protect or to defend the rights of the other Spaniards in Catalonia who are not Catalan separatists? His management of the crisis this weekend, yesterday, has been absolutely cack-handed, because he's left it far too late. He has legal instruments within the Spanish rule of law to have tried to stop this well before yesterday. But he didn't. He chose not to use them, or even try to use them. So we ended up with the scenes that we saw in Barcelona and across Catalonia yesterday.
Very interesting. I'm going to just ask you one last question, which I asked another guest earlier. Obviously, we're told that it was a 90%, the rumours that it was 90% for independence. We're also told that it was only a 42%, apologies, turnout. Maybe I'm saying, of course, turnout is going to be low if you're worried about getting beaten up as you go to the polling station. What do you think is the true picture of the desire for independence in Catalonia? What do you think would be a proper...
I would say, if we're looking at the results from yesterday, nobody knows right now, because those numbers, yes, the Catalan government came out last night and said it was 90% yes votes, which is more sort of reminiscent of a dictatorship somewhere than any kind of democracy anywhere on the planet for any kind of vote. The figure of the number of people who are supposed to vote, I think it's important to say the Catalan government spokesman that came out, when he announced the results, he talked about 2.2 million ballot papers, first of all, not 2.2 million voters. And there were videos posted on social media yesterday of ballot boxes falling.